Africa News Tonight, coming up right after these latest world news headlines.
I'm Bob Doty reporting. After weeks of fierce fighting, pro-Russian separatists have taken control of embattled Debaltseve in eastern Ukraine as Kiev's forces retreated. The rebels hoisted their flag Wednesday in triumph over the strategic rail hub that links the separatist strongholds of Luhansk and Donetsk. Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko ordered Kiev's troops to leave Debaltseve after rebels reported taking hundreds of government forces captive and left its remaining fighters short of food and water. He said 80% of several thousand Ukrainian troops had left the city, with others to follow. Mr. Poroshenko said the withdrawal laid shame on Russia for its support of the separatists. The United Nations Security Council is scheduled to hold an emergency session Wednesday on the crisis of Libya, a country that has struggled for political stability while militia groups and an internationally backed government battle for power and territory. The government and neighboring Egypt directed its attention on the situation this week after Islamic State militants beheaded 21 Egyptian Coptic Christians in Libya. Egypt's Foreign Minister Sameh Hassan Shoukry Salim told reporters Tuesday in New York,
"The legitimate government is in dire need of support, whether politically or militarily, in the provision of equipment that have been restricted by the Security Council so that it can undertake its responsibility to defend the Libyan people and third nationals on Libyan territory."
He also said a political settlement in Libya will not eradicate militant ideology. This is VOA News. U.S. President Barack Obama will deliver the keynote address Wednesday at a summit in Washington on combating and preventing violent extremism. The summit comes as the United States and its allies are struggling with the rapid, bloody rise of the extremist group Islamic State in Iraq and Syria, and recent terrorist attacks in Australia, Canada, France, and Denmark. The Obama administration has been careful not to put the focus of this week's summit solely on Islamic extremism, but on all forms of extremism, a strategy that has drawn criticism from conservative Republicans. The number of Afghan civilians killed by conflict-related violence rose by 25% last year to the highest level since at least 2009, this according to a new United Nations report released Wednesday. The UN assistance mission in Afghanistan said the fighting killed 3,699 civilians and injured 6,849 others. The report attributed the jump to an increase in ground fighting, along with the use of mortars, rockets, and grenades in populated areas. Another factor was the withdrawal of international combat troops, who turned over full responsibility for Afghanistan's security to the country's security forces in 2014. The head of Nigerian militant group Boko Haram has threatened to disrupt the country's elections, which were already postponed until next month because of violence. In a new video posted online late Tuesday, Boko Haram chief Abu Bakr Shekou said that even if clashes cost his fighters their lives, Allah will not allow the elections to proceed. The militant group has repeatedly warned Nigerians not to vote in the presidential and parliamentary elections, now set for March 28th. The polls were originally scheduled for February 14th, but election officials decided to push back the vote. Myanmar and Kokang rebels are trading accusations over an attack on a Red Cross convoy one day after the government declared a state of emergency in the northern region. The government of Myanmar, also known as Burma, released a statement Wednesday accusing Kokang rebels of Tuesday's attack on the Red Cross convoy, which wounded two people. Hong Kong's pro-Beijing leader has called on the city's residents, who staged mass pro-democracy protests last year, to be more like sheep in 2015. Chief Executive Leung Chun-ying made the comments Wednesday in an address to mark the year of the sheep. Sheep are widely seen to be mild and gentle animals living peacefully in groups, said Leung. I'm Bob Doty in Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
Good evening and welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington.
And I'm Yehi Suhib, and coming up this hour on Africa News Tonight,
a conference bringing together spiritual leaders, police, and representatives from more than 60 countries is underway in Washington, where President Obama hopes to come up with ways to counter violent extremism.
That's VOA's White House correspondent Luis Ramirez reporting. Details coming up.
Also in the news, the United Nations Security Council is scheduled to hold an emergency session today on the crisis in Libya, and nearly 40 people died in suicide bombings in Nigeria yesterday.
We'll have these stories and lots more ahead on Africa News Tonight.
Our top story this hour, the UN General Assembly was briefed today on West Africa's Ebola epidemic. Secretary General Ban Ki-moon says when the General Assembly met 5 months ago, the world was just coming to terms with the scope of the outbreak. Mr. Ban describes the current situation.
The pattern of the Ebola outbreak has changed. 2015 has seen a significant decline in the number of new Ebola cases in the three affected countries. Liberia, once the worst affected country with several hundred cases per week, has been steadily reporting fewer than 5 cases per week for the past month, while overall figures remain much lower than what we saw in 2014. Incidence rates rose again in Guinea and Sierra Leone in recent weeks. More than half of those newly infected have not been in contact with the people known to have had Ebola. This reminds us that setbacks can quickly follow apparent gains and highlights the need for constant vigilance and active surveillance, even in unaffected areas.
Mr. Ban warns it would be a mistake to be complacent about the Ebola crisis.
Our collective efforts have made remarkable progress. We have succeeded in averting the worst case scenarios we feared. There are encouraging signs that the worst of the outbreak is behind us. But much important work lies ahead until the affected countries reach zero cases and begin the transition to reconstruction and recovery. I call on all responders to redouble their efforts and on donors to stay the course.
Also addressing the General Assembly was UN Special Representative Ismail Old Sheikh Ahmed. He is the head of the UN Mission for Ebola Emergency Response.
I am speaking to you today from Liberia, where progress has been particularly remarkable. In view of such progress in Liberia, we are now pursuing the redeployment of some UNMIR resources and capabilities to bolster surge effort in Sierra Leone and especially in Guinea. In Sierra Leone and Guinea, we also saw an overall significant decline in the number of new cases in January. Since then, however, weekly cases incidence has increased, demonstrating that progress in fighting this outbreak will not be linear and that there is a need for constant vigilance to ensure sustained progress. In Guinea, the epicenter of the outbreak has shifted to Bas Guinea, adjacent to Conakry, while in Sierra Leone, incidents continue to be greatest in the western district of Port Loko and the capital, Freetown. In both countries, targeted efforts are being pursued to further reduce the number of cases as well as geographic dispersal and to strengthen active surveillance to ensure that new cases emanate from registered contact lists.
Also taking part in today's UN General Assembly briefing was Dr. David Nabarro, Special Envoy of the Secretary General on Ebola.
Well, everybody, there are now 10 times fewer people diagnosed with Ebola each week than there were in September last year. And there really has been remarkable progress. Yet in preventing the final 10% of infections, about 120 or 30 per week, might be the hardest part of the response. And until this hard part, this last part, is completed, the affected nations and the world cannot declare victory.
Nabarro says it's crucial to identify all those who have come in contact with people infected with the Ebola virus.
Identifying and tracing the people who are contacts is absolutely vital, because the only place where this virus survives for any length of time is inside living people. So if we find and we monitor every person who is a contact, we can find and stop every chain of transmission, and the outbreak can be ended quickly and definitively. And so that's why our ambition is to ensure that all people who are newly diagnosed with Ebola are known contacts of others who have been confirmed to have the disease. But we're not there yet.
That was Dr. David Nabarro, Special Envoy of the Secretary General on Ebola. He took part in today's briefing to the UN General Assembly.
New food security initiatives are being launched in Guinea, one of the countries hardest hit by the Ebola epidemic. The World Bank is investing $5 million to fund efforts by the UN Food and Agriculture Organization and the government of Guinea. VOA's Jody Kapawa reports.
The Ebola outbreak began in Guinea over a year ago. Since then, there have been over 3,100 cases and more than 2,000 deaths in the country. Vincent Martin is head of the FAO's Sub-Regional Resilience Hub for West Africa and is based in Dakar. He says there's been good news of late about the slowing of the outbreak.
There is a feeling of relief in some of these communities, although we know that the situation is still fragile and very volatile, and everybody has to keep the vigilance very, very high so that it doesn't flare up again.
Ebola caused a drop in food production in Guinea, but Martin says the ripple effect had greater consequences.
What was more important during the crisis was not so much the impact on the production per se, but the impact on the market chains, the impact on the trade, the loss of incomes of these families, of households that live on agricultural trade and commerce. And this is what has really affected these communities.
The food security efforts in rural Guinea are part of the FAO's Ebola response program.
This Ebola program has four main pillars. The first one is about social mobilization and sensitization. The second one is about boosting agricultural production. The third one is about increasing the resilience of vulnerable communities. And the fourth one is about coordination.
He says the program trains rural communities on how to prevent the spread of Ebola.
We will sensitize around 240,000 people to these prevention measures. The second component of this project in Guinea will be about boosting the agricultural production, improve seeds, fertilizers, farming equipment, so that they get ready for the next season and they are not hit again by another shock, let's say.
The Ebola response program also aims to increase job opportunities. About 2,000 young people will be supported by a Cash for Work project. The FAO cautions that communities will need time to recover from the shock of Ebola. However, it warns that if no action is taken now, nearly a 500,000 people in Guinea could be food insecure 1 year from now. Joe DiCapua, VOA News, Washington.
The Security Council is scheduled to hold an emergency session today on the crisis in Libya. Militia groups and an internationally backed government are fighting for power and territory. Parallel governments are operating in Tripoli and Tobruk. Egypt directed its attention to Libya this week after Islamic State militants beheaded 21 Egyptian Coptic Christians in Libya. Foreign Minister Sameh Hassan Shoukry Salem says Arab diplomats are working on a resolution that would include halting the flow of weapons to the militias that have existed since the 2011 ouster of Muammar Gaddafi. He also says a political settlement in Libya will not eradicate militant ideology. The draft resolution is not expected to be presented today. Meanwhile, Italy is calling on the Security Council to take immediate action to end Libya's civil war. Italian Foreign Minister Paolo Gentiloni says the fighting in Libya threatens to destabilize the region even further. The Islamic State has a presence in Libya. Thousands of sub-Saharan Africans have sailed from unpatrolled Libyan shores in unsafe boats, creating a refugee and migrant crisis on the Mediterranean Sea. He says migrant arrivals have surged nearly 60% in the first 6 weeks of the year to more than 5,000.
Nearly 40 people died in suicide bombings in Biu, Nigeria, yesterday. That's near the border with Cameroon. A civilian militia leader says 20 civilians and 17 members of Boko Haram died in the blasts at a Nigerian military checkpoint. Also yesterday, hundreds of Boko Haram fighters attacked a Cameroon military base in Waza. They set a fire to nearby village homes before returning to Nigeria. Cameroon newspapers report today that the U.S. is offering some support to Cameroon in the fight against Boko Haram. U.S. Ambassador Michael Stephen Hosa is quoted as saying Washington has agreed to provide the Cameroon military with what he calls a logistical pipeline of material. Ambassador Hosa calls the support necessary to defend the country. U.S. Defense Department officials had indicated earlier they would provide cell phones, radios, and computers to regional forces opposing the Islamist radicals. In related news today, a Nigerian military spokesman says Nigerian forces have killed more than 300 Boko Haram fighters in efforts to retake 11 Nigerian towns in the last several days.
A conference bringing together spiritual leaders, police, and representatives from more than 60 countries is underway in Washington, where President Obama hopes to come up with ways to counter violent extremism. VOA White House correspondent Luis Ramirez reports.
How to combat violent extremism at its source is a big question that officials from 60 countries and from cities throughout the United States are trying to answer at the summit, which opened Tuesday at the White House. At a roundtable that included officials from Belgium and the Netherlands and local police officials from across the U.S., Vice President Joe Biden called for an approach that goes beyond airstrikes and invasions.
We're here today because we all understand that in dealing with violent extremism, we need answers that go beyond a military answer. We need answers that go beyond force.
Obama administration officials say reaching into America's toughest neighborhoods is key to discrediting the appeals that terrorists might have and to preventing young people who want to escape marginalization and isolation from turning to extremist ideologies. To that end, the White House invited police officials from Los Angeles, Boston, and Minneapolis, whose youth outreach programs are models for ones President Obama would like to set up nationwide. Vice President Biden noted Minneapolis' efforts to engage members of the city's Somali-born population. In a light remark, Mr. Biden compared the inclusion efforts to those of his home city of Wilmington in the U.S. state of Delaware, which also has a community of Somali immigrants.
If you ever come to the train station with me, you'll notice that I have great relationships with them because there's an awful lot of driving cabs and are friends of mine, for real.
To some analysts, the remark illustrated the goodwill that exists, but also the work that needs to be done in assimilating America's Muslim recent immigrants. While the question of how to prevent extremism at its roots is too large to answer in a three-day summit, analysts say the meeting is an important first step in finding a solution that goes beyond leading wars on terrorists. Luis Ramirez, VOA News, at the White House.
You're listening to Africa News Tonight live on the following frequencies, 15, 580 and 6080 kilohertz on the Voice of America. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington.
I'm Yehi Suhi, 20 past the hour. Here's a recap of our top stories. The UN General Assembly was briefed today on West Africa's Ebola epidemic. The United Nations Security Council is scheduled to hold an emergency session today on the crisis in Libya. And nearly 40 people died in suicide bombings in Nigeria yesterday. And we'd like to hear your thoughts on our stories. You can write to us at Africa News Tonight, Voice of America, 330 Independence Avenue, Southwest Washington, D.C., 20237.
The military spokesman for the South Sudan's armed opposition has defected from the group due to concerns about the movement's leadership. VOA's Gabe Joslow reports it is not yet clear what effect the move will have on the conflict or ongoing peace talks with the government.
Brigadier General Lul Ruai Koang announced a split with South Sudan's rebel opposition, which has been battling government forces since December 2013. Announcing the formation of a new group called the South Sudan Resistance Movement and Army, Koang cited differences with opposition leader, former Vice President Riek Machar.
The declaration we are making today is that we do not longer want to be fighting for an organization that wants to keep on fighting simply because one man at the top wants to rule this country by force.
Koang previously served as a spokesman for the opposition and a representative during peace talks in Addis Ababa. Speaking in Nairobi, he said he could not say exactly how many people have joined the new movement, but estimated 75% of the opposition is behind him. He said the new resistance movement, which allegedly includes military commanders, is declaring a ceasefire and is waiting for the government to respond.
We have been preparing for a major offensive. The government have been preparing for a major offensive, and we are trying to avert this eventuality by declaring a unilateral ceasefire and talk instead of fighting. So I'm once again calling upon the government to listen to voices of people calling for peace.
The conflict in South Sudan began when a political dispute between Machar and President Salva Kiir turned violent, splitting factions of the armed forces against each other and prompting inter-ethnic violence between Mr. Kiir's Dinka people and Machar's Nuer community. Koang said the resistance movement represents Nuer people and is calling for the establishment of a Nuer state. The former spokesman denied he is effectively defecting to the side of government, although the news conference Wednesday was organized by the South Sudanese embassy and attended by a number of diplomats. South Sudanese Foreign Minister Barnaba Mariel Benjamin also told VOA the government welcomes the formation of the new movement.
This is an excellent move on their part. It's the realization of their patriotism that the sovereignty of South Sudan cannot be tampered with. In the name of a single tribe, and that it is important that they become a part of the national fabric of the whole of South Sudan.
It is not clear what effect the move will have on peace talks. The parties have signed several cessation of hostilities agreements in the past year, which have all been almost immediately violated. The most recent deal, signed earlier this month, paved the way for a transitional government and called for a more comprehensive agreement to be finalized by March 5th. Gabe Joslow, VOA News, Nairobi.
And more than 80 South Sudanese women gathered at a one-day forum in Juba yesterday to demand their voices be heard in the peace process. They say thousands of women have been beaten, raped, and killed in South Sudan's 14-month-old conflict. Mugume Davis Rwakarinji has more from Juba.
We women! Like many South Sudanese women, 25-year-old Aur Majul Nial of Jonglei State witnessed unspeakable horrors last year.
When I saw my age mate being raped, like what happened in Bor, when I saw some women who used to be in the same church were raped because they were in church and then later on killed. When I saw that picture, I could not sleep because it really touches me and I was almost getting mad.
Majul Nial says her family home was destroyed in the fighting last January. She says she's recovering but still traumatized. More than 80 women from all 10 states attended yesterday's forum. Palek Matthew Obor, executive director of the South Sudan Women's Empowerment Network, read an open communique on behalf of the participants.
In every accountability discussion and process, women should be involved, and special consideration should be given to address sexual and gender-based violence, including rape and sexual assaults.
The forum was sponsored by the NGO Success, which stands system to uphold the credibility and constitutionality of elections in South Sudan. It is a USAID-funded program designed to improve good governance in South Sudan. Women activists are pushing for a provision that mandates at least 25% women's representation in the formation and structure of the transitional government of national unity and in all decision-making bodies at national and state levels. Betty Sande Ben, founder of the NGO Voice of the Voiceless, is demanding women's rights be written into any new peace agreement. She says if they are not, women will stop taking care of the men.
We are going to mobilize all women to the 10 states that we should not cook, we should not everything we are going to do because they are the one who is raping us, the men, they are the one who is killing us, and then we are at the same time the one who are cooking for them and then we are their wife. So we don't want to give birth to the graves.
Activist Harriet Pony Dumba agrees.
We've been raising our voices, but we feel that our voices has not been really taken into consideration. But this time we want to pass a message that we are very serious about this and we really demand for peace. We are not asking, but we're demanding for peace.
The South Sudanese women activists say they will send their resolution to IGAD negotiators in Addis Ababa for adoption. For VOA News, I am Mugume Davis Ruakarinj in Juba.
The Southern African Development Community has sent its electoral observer mission to Lesotho. And that wraps up this edition of African News Tonight. Stay tuned for Straight Talk Africa with Shaka Sali coming up at 18:30 UTC. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington.
I'm Yehi Suhib, and for all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at www.voaafrica.com. And on behalf of our Africa News Tonight producer, Bill Workinger, and our engineer, Calvin Fowler, thanks for choosing The Voice of America.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butter here to remind you that February is Black History Month in the United States. And starting February 2nd, we'll begin our Black History Month series and daily quiz on Daybreak Africa. Listen every morning as we profile historical African-American and African individuals and events. You can win special VOA goodies by answering one of our daily Black History questions. Please send your answers to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us on 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your answer. We will select a winner each morning from among the correct answers.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Malaria kills thousands of people each year, but there are some simple things you can do to protect your family. If you can, put screens in your windows. A simple screen can keep disease-carrying mosquitoes out of your home. If you go outside, wear light-colored clothing and long pants and long sleeves, especially when it is dark and mosquitoes are most active. After it rains, empty all containers of standing water. The water in just one discarded tire can become a breeding ground for thousands of mosquitoes. Make sure your home is clear of debris and anything that holds water, including discarded cans, water containers, and rubbish. Empty containers that livestock drink from regularly so that mosquitoes cannot breed there.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The Voice of America, VOA.